KJAN Sports.
Time to check sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update is brought to you this morning by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Let's check high school volleyball from around the area last night. Regional finals were in Class 1A and 2A last evening. In Class 1A, St. Albert moves on to state as they post a win over Newell Fonda 3-1. Gladbrook Rhinebeck down Stanton 3-0. Also in Class 2A, Van Meter over Underwood 3-2. And South Hardin defeated East Sac County 3-2 in regional final play. That sets up the state tournament pairings now in the smaller classes. In Class 1A, Janesville is the top seed, and St. Albert gets the number 8 seed. They'll play Janesville in the first round next Tuesday. Gladbrook Rhinebeck will play Springville, Wapsie Valley facing Burlington Notre Dame, while Galen Catholic will play New London in Class 1A first round action. Also next Tuesday in Class 2A first round play, Western Christian gets the number 1 seed. They'll play South Hardin in the first round. Boyden Hall plays Denver. Wilton faces Van Meter, while Dyke New Hartford will play Sumner Fredericksburg in first round action next week. Well, the Western Iowa Conference announced its all-conference volleyball selections for the 2020 season. Here's a look at the first team picks. They include Macy Van Fossen of Underwood, Presley Pogge of Tri-Center, Peyton Cook of Underwood, Emma Flathers of Trainer, Maddie Lewis of Trainer, Ava Hiltz of Missouri Valley, Ashley Christians of Logan Magnolia, and Miranda Ring of Tri-Center. All were first team selections this year. Second team selections include Zoe Russ of Underwood, Stella Umphreys of Trainer, Ella Myler of Missouri Valley, Maya Contreras of Missouri Valley, Leslie Morales Foot of Underwood, Kenna Ford of Riverside, McKenna Gurritz of Logan Magnolia, and Courtney Ohl of Logan Magnolia. They were all selected as second team picks this season. The Iowa Association of Track Coaches released its final cross-country team rankings for the season yesterday afternoon. Here's a quick look. In boys 4A, Cedar Falls is tops rated, with Dubuque Hempstead number 2 and Dowling Catholic ranked 3rd. In class 4A girls, Valley West Des Moines is top rated. Johnston and Linmar are 2 and 3 in this week's poll. Final poll in class 3A boys has Dallas Center Grimes number 1, Pella number 2, and Solon rated number 3. ADM checks in at number 10, while Glenwood is in at 15. In girls class 3A, Ballard is top rated, with Dubuque Wallert and Dallas Center Grimes 2 and 3. Glenwood is number 6. Harlan is rated 8th. Winterset is rated at number 13 in that poll. Also in class 2A boys, Danville New London is number 1, Tipton number 2, and Des Moines Christian is number 3. In 2A girls, Mid Prairie is number 1, with Williamsburg number 2 and Tipton number 3. Panorama is in at number 8 in that final poll. And in class 1A on the boys' side, it's Madrid number 1, Earlham ranks 2nd, South Winnesheek 3rd, Nottoway Valley checks in at number 8, while ACGC is at number 10. In girls class 1A, Hudson, Pekin, and Iowa City Regina are the top 3 rated teams. Van Meter is number 7, ACGC number 8, AHSTW number 11, Logan Magnolia ranked 14th, Earlham is number 15 in that final poll of the season. Iowa's defense faces a tough challenge in Saturday's home opener against Northwestern. Led by Indiana transfer Peyton Ramsey at quarterback, the Wildcats piled up 325 yards rushing in a season-opening win over Maryland. Here's Hawkeye linebacker Barrington Wade.
We're just staying focused and preparing for everything that they could throw at us. Their run game is definitely something to think about, and they have a really good quarterback, too. So we're just going to be prepared for whatever.
Junior defensive tackle Davion Nixon had a strong outing against Purdue, but is looking to make even more progress.
But, you know, it just wasn't enough to get us the win. So, you know, personally, I just feel like a lot of the blame is on me as well. You know, I just didn't do good enough to get the win for the team. And, from growing from week to week, we just got to come out and just make sure we just be better at the basics and our fundamentals and just communicating.
Nixon says the Northwestern offensive line will be a challenge.
Those guys are really big, and they like to turn out people and position block a lot. So our goal pretty much is to make sure we're getting knocked back off the ball, you know, great pad level, things like that, and just making sure we don't get turned out and have a chance to, you know, make a play on the football.
Junior safety Jack Kerner says Northwestern's run game will be tough to contain.
They come out in similar formations about eight, nine times in a row, but it'll run a different play. That's something that the defense is, we just really got to start to adjust. And so that's kind of what the focus on the week has been, is recognizing those formations and understanding what they want to do to us. But it all starts with, they got a good offensive line, veteran group, and got got some veteran backs as well.
Iowa blanked Northwestern 20-0 a year ago, but the Wildcats have claimed three of the last four games in that series.
They're tough, and they had the whole spring ball and everything, so they're ready to go. And that's something that we're always appreciative of the rivalry, and we're always respect that. And it's something that we definitely are not overlooking them by any means, just because they had a rough year last year.
We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. 2:30 kickoff from an empty Kinnick Stadium. 12:30 will be the pregame start time here on the radio. Also in Big Ten news, the pandemic hit Big Ten football just 2 weeks into its season Wednesday as number 9 Wisconsin canceled its game at Nebraska and paused team activities for at least a week after a dozen people in the program, including Coach Paul Christ, tested positive for COVID-19. Athletic Director Barry Alvarez and Chancellor Rebecca Blank made the decision in consultation with Big Ten officials. Alvarez said the team had only one positive test 2 days before Friday's season opening 45-7 victory over Illinois and 12 positive tests afterward. Iowa State players say they're taking nothing for granted as they prepare to visit Kansas. The 23rd-ranked Cyclones are 3-2, and they go up against a Jayhawk team that's 0-5 after a blowout loss to Kansas State. Here's Cyclone running back Breece Hall.
It's the Big 12, so, there could be a surprise any given Saturday. So we, at the end of the day, we still have to come out and play one of our best games. They're still in the Big 12, and they're here. Their players are on scholarship. They're here just like we are. So you can't really take them as a joke or anything like that.
Linebacker Mike Rose says they are preparing for a tough challenge.
You want to prepare the same you prepare for every week, but and every team will have players that are doing good things. So we'll go into it as any normal week. Can't treat them any differently.
Safety Greg Eisworth points to last year's 41-31 Cyclone win in Ames.
Every year, they're honestly not that far off. So I think that program, they just continue to keep grinding away and figuring things out. And, I definitely see them being improved on the upswing of things and keep on improving. But they've never been an uncompetitive team. It's always been a really good game when we play them. And, so, we got to go in there prepared 100%.
Eisworth says the concern for the defense is the ability of Kansas freshman quarterback Jalen Daniels to run and pass.
I would think it's just trying to limit him to one. Try to limit his run game or try not to allow him to kill us with his feet as much. He's a great athlete. He's a great player. You see that all on film. But obviously, if you take away one threat, then you can kind of focus on the others.
That game kicks at 11 o'clock Saturday morning in Lawrence. Well, Major League Baseball says Justin Turner risked the safety of others by violating coronavirus protocols when he celebrated the Los Angeles Dodgers World Series win with his teammates and refused instructions from security to leave Globe Life Field. The commissioner's office said Wednesday that it's starting a full investigation of the 35-year-old third baseman. Turner was pulled from Tuesday night's game following the seventh inning after MLB was notified that he had tested positive for COVID-19. Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, said Turner was quarantined in a doctor's office off to the side, but he later returned to the field and took down his mask to pose for a team photo on the field. The commissioner's office said it will consult with the Players Association as part of its investigation. The union was in the process of gathering facts on the events. The Dodgers won their first World Series championship since 1988 with a 3-1 win over Tampa Bay in Game 6 Tuesday night. Meanwhile, Blake Snell spent nearly 10 minutes discussing a disappointing end to the World Series before concluding with a message to the rest of the Tampa Bay Rays. The 2018 AL Cy Young Award winner doesn't want his teammates to be satisfied with finishing second to the Dodgers. He wants everyone to take some time off and wind down from the playoff run and then show up for spring training hungry and ready to finish the job next season. What figures to be a down and perhaps brutal market for baseball free agents in the offseason following the pandemic began yesterday when a dozen players were told that their contract options had been declined, and among them was St. Louis Cardinals Gold Glove second baseman Colton Wong. The 30-year-old Wong will receive a $1 million buyout. Wong, a first-round pick in the 2011 draft, made his big league debut in 2013 and spent his first 8 seasons with St. Louis. Wong hit .265 with a homer and 16 RBIs in 53 games during the pandemic-shortened season. And a racing Kyle Busch won for the first time this season to extend a 16-season streak when he won on the NASCAR playoff race at Texas. The race finished up on Wednesday, 3 days after it started. Busch finished ahead of penalized teammate Martin Truex Jr., who missed a chance to secure a spot in the championship. Busch, the reigning Cup champ, who already is out of contention for this year's title, finished 0.468 seconds ahead of his Joe Gibbs Racing teammate. The last chance to get in the championship four is Sunday at Martinsville, where Truex won in June. There are spots for three other drivers to join Joey Logano for a run at the championship in the season finale on November 8th in Phoenix. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for a complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.